brought to us by FanDuel. Jerry Coyne is live in studio with Keith Gabe and Rich Calkins. And guys, the rebounding of Miguel Cabrera's career this year has been amazing. Obviously, getting the 3,000 hits has unburdened him in some fashion or whatever, but we haven't seen Miggy like this since, what, 2017, 18?
It's been a while, JC, and didn't you just feel it last night?
Oh, yeah.
You just kind of knew. I mean, Jonathan Scopes, it went out double to center field. He steals third. Interesting play. The Tigers don't steal bases. And then Cabrera comes up. He said, this game's over. He's gonna hit a fly ball. He's going to do something. Base hit up the middle. They win the game, the second game in a row. They won in late innings.
And I just can't help but see how much fun he's having.
Oh,
because, again, he's such a prideful guy.
Yeah.
He's such a great hitter, and he's just, he's such a leader on this team that he's having so much fun when he can contribute like this. Like, similar to the old style Miguel Cabrera. It's just so cool to see, and this Tiger team needs it.
Well, yesterday, or on Thursday, Harold Castro had, what,
two home runs? Yeah.
And came to the, he was to bat in the ninth inning with, two on to go ahead and win the game against
Minnesota. Yeah. Yep.
And Hinch pinch hit Cabrera for him, and Miggy struck out on a dubious call, to say the least.
Yes.
And you don't see Cabrera get that angry. It was probably a ball. It was at the bottom of the strike zone. And Tigers ended up winning the game anyways in extra innings.
Yes, on a Jaime Candelario home run.
Yeah, we're starting to see the bats wake up a little bit. Scope is finally, who was hitting 100, made the Mendoza line look really good.
Yeah.
Is all of a sudden, which is almost mirroring what he did last year.
Yeah. Exactly. Notorious slow starter, but we knew the bat would wake up. We were hoping the bat would wake up, and it looks like it's starting to.
Yeah, as you mentioned, Candelario looking a little better, Castro looking a little bit better. Torkelson was on a little bit of a hitting jag.
Yes,
Riley Green starts his rehab, so probably 2 or 3 weeks away from rejoining the squad. Although the pitching news is getting worse and worse.
Oh, my Lord. That's exactly it. I mean, they have one of the best pitching staffs in baseball, but they're decimated by injuries.
They have the best bullpen in baseball.
That's correct, yeah. Yeah, but no starters. I mean, Tarek Skubal is the lone starter left from the start of the season.
They have six starters on the IR, Keith.
Oh, my
Lord. How can you – and it's amazing when you look at it with the injuries they've had, what they've been able to piecemeal, and the staff and what they've done has been amazing, actually,
JC,
from the pitching standpoint.
You just mentioned Manning has a further –
Well, it looked like Manning, they were counting on Manning to start in this homestand against this is a huge homestand.
Oh, yes.
Okay. This is, this could be make or break the Tigers. You know, they need to win. They've got, two more left with the Indians and then 5 games with the Twins.
Yeah.
If they could manage to win 5 or 6 of these games,
to be right back
turn
in.
The whole season around, especially if they could take 4 out of 5 from the Twins, get it within 6 or 7 games, the whole thing could be different. We are going to see some of these pitchers back.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like Mize is turning the corner, hopefully.
Right.
They think Rodriguez won't be too long on the IL. And who's the pitcher that got hit in the leg?
That was Skubal.
That was Skubal.
Yes, it was.
So he looked good.
He was able
7 innings last night. Again, another quality start. This kid is having a Cy Young year, and he's not getting any decisions because
they can't hit.
They can't hit. Yeah.
Yeah, that's just the way it is. And Javi Baez, please find a strike zone. this guy swings at everything. He makes Vlad Guerrero look like a disciplined hitter.
Yeah.
Al Kaline would be rolling over in his grave.
I would like
imagine Al Kaline and George Kell up in the booth talking about hitting on this scene.
Oh
Lord,
that elongated swing, man! He goes for the cheap seats every single time.
He's got to spend a little bit more time with Miguel.
That's right,
for sure.
That's right.
Yeah, but not that we're looking at this with rose-colored glasses, mm-hmm. but you see maybe the light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they can get the batting average up to 240.
Yeah.
I mean, and you didn't see my text yesterday, guys, but, you know, like I'm watching the beginning of the game, and I'm looking at Cleveland's staff, and I'm like, who the bleep are these? I never heard of one hitter on the team other than
Ramirez. Yeah.
Everybody else is, like, what, did they get him from Japan last week? I, you know, and this is one of the better hitting teams in the league.
Yeah, it's scary. But I'm with you, JC. I don't have rose-colored glasses on, but I'm still optimistic about this team. I think it'll all come together, and when it does, watch out, because this is a pretty good baseball team on paper.
Well, you know, and then you look at Lynn Henning's reports up and, you know, from the AA and AAA, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of good things coming mm-hmm. out. Like, I'm surprised that Cody Clemens hasn't made his way here.
Right.
Because he's playing in the outfield now, too. So what is he? He's hitting like 340 down in Toledo.
Right. They're cross-training him because, again, they see a little backlog on the infield there. So if they can get some more outfield help,
that's a good move.
They need that bat.
Yep.
And Meadows starting to get, you know, I read the scariest story about baseball players and vertigo. There is a history of guys coming down with vertigo in baseball and never making it back. Like a dozen guy names that you've heard of that just cannot get back to where they were because of, you know, how fast the ball moves and everything else. So I pray to God this is not what happens to Austin Meadows because that guy was a find.
It sure was. For us to be able to get him before the start of the season was a major find, JC. And the way he was hitting, too, it just was like, wow. I mean, it was something that the team needed desperately.
Well, it has severely affected Robbie Grossman because
mm-hmm.
there's no support for him
right.
after the leadoff spot.
Right.
Yeah. So he's starting to hit a little bit. He got on base four times yesterday.
He scored a couple of runs.
And a couple of walks.
With those two hits, he brought his average up to 199.
But swing and miss.
Right, I will, absolutely.
I'm a little disappointed in the catcher, Tucker Barnhart. You know, he's not hitting for average or power. Still doesn't have a home run. And this guy came in with a little bit of a reputation to hit.
Right.
Well, his lifetime batting average is like 259.
It's about 200 points, 100 points, 100 points more than what he's hitting right now.
I think they got him as a Gold Glove catcher. It's not like he's Lance Parrish.
No, I get it.
But Haas, you know, Haas had 12 home runs by this time last year. He's got what, two?
Yeah.
You know, it's, if it weren't for Cabrera, they might not have a win on the season.
It's possible.
It really is. So, you know, we will bide our time and until then we'll watch the Yankees.
No, we won't. But
32-13, baby.
Aaron Judge, what a season he's having!
Unbelievable.
Oh, you think the Yankees are kicking themselves for not extending him
this year? Well, they tried. He turned it down. He turned that.
It was
7 years, $200 million. It was about $30 million a year.
They lowballed him.
They did lowball him.
I know exactly. I'm laughing, but it's true.
He's going to come back for $40 million.
I know.
You know. The only problem is that, you know, although Judge has only been on the stage for 3 years, he's 29 years old.
Right.
You know, he's an old, not rookie, but you know what I'm saying.
Yes, exactly. He was a little bit of a late developer.
An old young guy.
Yeah. Old young guy.
An old young guy. A lot of talk about the baseball. I know you probably don't want to go there, but home runs are way down, except for that guy, Aaron Judge. I mean, it's almost like he's hitting dead balls out of the park at a rate that Babe Ruth did in the dead ball era.
Except for if you notice in the last 2 days, a whole bunch of runs.
Yeah, like they broke out a new pack of big.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know,
I hear
you.
You
know what's going to happen.
That's right.
And maybe the balls are coming out of the humidor. So because that's been the story in baseball.
That's right.
You know, in Coors Field, they had a humidor to kind of keep the balls down. And then I read somewhere that every ball club has a humidor.
They all do.
Yeah. So I believe that the humidors have been turned off.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Cigars have been taken out of there as well.
I always
put the cigars back in, take the balls out.
You know, if there's if teams do that, and I suspect they do, much like, you know, Old Tiger Stadium, the grass was always a little bit longer with for Trammell and Whitaker. You know, I mean, they like the grass.
Notre Dame football.
Slow those balls down a little bit. Yeah,
grow that grass up.
I think there's something with the care of the baseballs from park to park to park. That's going on right now. I don't think it's worrisome. I like the game the way it's been.
But you are so in the minority.
I get it. But a couple of years ago, it was like slow pitch softball, right? Balls flying out of the park at a ridiculous rate.
Yeah, but nobody, I'm sorry.
It should be hard to hit a home run.
But Smoltz and what's his name were right a long, long time ago. Chicks dig the long ball.
They do.
That's why you take your girlfriend to the slow pitch softball game. Right. It's why men don't play fast pitch softball.
I'm just saying, not to toot my own horn, but when I was in Little League, I had three girls that used to hang by the fence. Woo!
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Hit another triple. When we return here on Friday Faceoff on Up North Sports Radio, we will be joined by one of the greatest sports writers in America today, John U. Bacon. Thank God he's here. He and I are going to run roughshod over Gabe.
Here we go.
Well, Ann Arbor Huron High School, University of Michigan. I mean, how could he not, and a writer who's written, by my account, like 8 books about Michigan football.
Former Detroit News sports writer. I knew him way back then. Yep. He's a good friend of mine, and his books, every one of them, are fantastic, especially his latest one, Let Them Lead. I just read it recently. I can't say enough good things about the work that John Bacon does.
Yeah, he'll be here in the Traverse City area on June 18th for the Wolverine Weekend at Grand Traverse Resort. So we'll be talking to John. We'll see how long we can keep him on before he's like, what kind of clowns have I got to deal with here? Back after these on Friday Faceoff, brought to us by FanDuel. But, one of the things that I love most about betting my favorite sports is that I'm always finding new player props or game props that I like. And what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook is you can combine prop bets from multiple games and now even multiple sports. It's called the Same Game Parlay Plus, and you can only find them on FanDuel. Like, you could combine, guys, Steph Curry and Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
Did you see McDavid's goal last
night? Oh, yeah.
I want to talk about that. That was the biggest screw job in the world, that call, that the no goal.
The goal was overturned.
Calgary,
they should still be playing.
Yeah, they should still. No, that would have been the end of the game. There was only two minutes left. You're right. The series should still be going.
That's right.
You could combine NBA playoff NBA playoff player props you love with your favorite baseball home run hitter or NHL goal scorer for a chance to score an even bigger payout. If
you don't want to build your own same-game parlay, check out their popular same-game parlay section where you can join the bets other users are jumping on. If you're new to FanDuel, sign up with promo code WGRY to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000.
Make every moment more.
Then
download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Just use the promo code WGRY so they know I sent you. 21 and over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
Back after these from on Friday Faceoff, brought to us by FanDuel with John U. Bacon joining us. Welcome to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by FanDuel. Jerry Coyne live in studio with Keith Gabe and Rich Calkins. And on the phone with us, the noted sports writer from the University of Michigan, John U. Bacon. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning, sir. Although I did go to U of M, I'm not afraid to write critically of them when I need to, so as has been documented. But anyway,
we
got Keith Gabe on there, man.
How you doing, John?
Already eclipsed me.
Go ahead, he didn't hear you.
John, good to talk to you. How you doing, man?
Doing all right, Keith. Excuse me, just got up up north last night, so can't be all bad, can it?
John's got a place up here.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So you won't be traveling too far, John. We have you on in advance of the Wolverine weekend that you are the featured guest at Grand Traverse Resort on June 18th.
That is accurate. We'll be up there with Michigan football players, J.J. McCarthy, the quarterback, Ronnie Bell, the receiver, and, of course, the big offensive lineman, Ryan Hayes, a native, of course, of Traverse City, along with Devin Gardner, Sam Webb, and Ira Weintraub. So it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, excellent, John. That's a great thing that you guys are doing. What was the impetus behind having this weekend up here, John?
They've talked about doing it for a few years. They've had a number of events at the resort, of course, one of Michigan's best resorts. Been there many times myself. But then NIL hit, of course. Name, image, and likeness, where now the players can be involved. They thought this is a great coming out party for Michigan's efforts on NIL. So that's how you got the players there, and it's going to be part of history. That's where history starts. So that'll be a fun weekend. I know Sam and Ira from WTKA back in Ann Arbor, they've had many events up here, but this is the first time we've done the whole shebang with golf, with an outing that night. And I know the tickets are going pretty fast, so that'll be fun.
John, Michigan, by all reports or by all views, we're not privy to a lot of stuff behind the scene, really lagging behind in the NIL business, coming to a head last week with Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban. What is your view on what the football and basketball programs at Michigan are doing about NIL?
They're playing a game of catch-up. Your take is correct, in my opinion, Keith. And, look, I mean, with all due respect, Alabama, Texas A&M, they've been doing this before there was NIL. So. They're a little ahead of the game here,
yeah.
But they just went pro. That's the only difference here, I guess. But anyway, Michigan has been slow on the uptake, and Hunter Dickinson, the basketball center, of course, has called out Michigan for this, although he's been taken care of since then by boosters, so now it's totally legal. So this is, for the people who are complaining about that, this is Michigan's first real foray into this world. To keep the players happy, of course, keep them on the team, from jumping early to the NFL and so on and so forth, or jumping to another school. So this is the first real, the debutante ball, if you will, of Michigan's NIL efforts.
John, you wrote a book a few years back called End Zone, prophesizing a lot of the problems in college football. So, if you had to update that book, where would you say the sport is at now?
Exactly where I thought it would be. look, I mean, it's going to be a wild west. What I love now is that now people like Saban are complaining that it's wild west. All it is wild west spread out to everybody else as well. Almost anything goes. Once you say you can pay the players, yeah. The boosters can at least. Where are you going to draw that line? And now people are asking for a line to be drawn, but I don't see one anytime soon. These horses have left the barn.
Yep.
It's going to be what it's going to be. And, you know, look, I recall in the 40s, Fritz Kreisler, Michigan's old. I should backtrack that, Keith. I'm not quite that old. I don't recall this. I did read this. but Fritz Kreisler in the 40s was publicly complaining that if we start giving athletic scholarships, all hell will break loose. And maybe in some ways it did, but boy, that's not a debate we have anymore. So we'll probably acclimate to this as well down the road. But I will say this. When I see Nick Saban calling out Jimbo Fisher and Jimbo Fisher calling out Nick Saban, all I can say is pass me the popcorn. What one?
You get that right.
You have a question?
Hey, John, you've been busy writing books, obviously. Your most recent one, I read, watched you talk about it there in Traverse City at the National Writers Series and so on, called Let Them Lead. Books doing well. You want to tell us about that? And also, please give us a sneak preview of the book that you're working on right now that should be up pretty soon.
That's right. Well, first of all, you're talking to Keith Gabe, naturally, and you ought to have him on. He's great on the radio and TV as well as, of course, in print. Read his stories many times as a competitor. In fact, he's at the Detroit Free Press, and I'm at the Detroit News. And hard to keep up with Keith. But, of course, the Russian Five, let's put that in there.
Thank you.
Russian Five stands on its own as a book as well as a documentary. I heard him speak about that before, of course. And now his book on Vladdy, fantastic stuff. My latest book, and Keith, God bless him, drove all the way from Houghton Lake to Traverse City for that one for the National
Writer
Series.
We paid him, too.
Well, this book is called Let Them Lead, Unexpected Lessons in Leadership from America's Worst High School Hockey Team. This is all a true story. took a few years off from the writing world to coach my old high school hockey team back in Ann Arbor. At the time, they were 0-22-3, and you sports guys know the zero is where the wins go, so that's a problem. And they hired yours truly, the worst player in school history. This is not false modesty. I can prove this. I still hold the record for the most games in a year in uniform, 86. The Q's goal is zero, and I play forward. So that's what it is.
That's
so
good.
Not a very good matchup, but it worked because I followed the advice of my mentors, one of whom is Ross Childs, right there in your backyard in Traverse City. He started the Traverse City High School hockey program, which has since won a state title. TC Central now, of course. He's still around, and he'll be there at this event in Grand Traverse.
Good.
But followed the good advice, Herb Brooks, others, and within 3 years we passed 95% of the nation. So it did work. The generation getting dumped on currently, unfair. These guys know how to work, and that was the whole point of the book.
Great stuff. Great stuff.
And the preview, the book that Keith foreshadowed here, John, you're working on another one. You churn these books out, much like Stephen King.
Yeah, much like Stephen King, except a couple differences.
Well, you're a true life horror.
His book sells a little more than mine. God bless him. But also people say, I love when they say, are you working on another book? I said, I better be. I like my house.
That's right. Can you tell us about this one at all?
Yes, of course. And
please.
You have been a part of this, by the way, you and Tim Raffoli. The book is going to be called The Greatest Comeback. It's about Team Canada versus the Soviets in 1972.
50
and
years
might
ago.
Have to be a hardcore.
I remember 72. That.
Yep, 50 years ago.
Even I remember that, John. You were barely born.
I was born. I was 8 years old, running
right.
home from school to watch CBC Channel 9 out of Windsor,
mm-hmm.
of course, because they carried it. And the basic setup was, this is like their dream team. You recall in 92 in Barcelona for the first time, Magic Johnson, of course, Larry Bird, Michael Jordan were all put together for the first time as a dream team. Well, this is their hockey dream team.
Yep.
The first time that let the pros play against the so-called amateurs of the Soviet Union. And it's supposed to be a whitewash, as Keith knows. It's supposed to win 4 games in Canada, 4 games in Moscow, piece of cake, and with 3 games left, they're down 1-3-1. They had to win all 3, and they did, all by 1 goal. And the last goal, 34 seconds left in the game by Paul Henderson. More Canadians
right.
saw that goal at 1:30 in the afternoon than saw the moon landing 3 years earlier. When I interviewed Wayne Gretzky about this, he just shrugged and said, it's more important. So, okay.
John,
so that's the background of that story.
Well, obviously your love of Michigan, the University of Michigan and hockey. What was your take on the hockey team this year? You know, when all those guys were drafted and then stayed with the team, you know, they made it to the Frozen Four, but kind of disappointing that they didn't take to the national championship.
Very much so. Look, I mean, that team was loaded for bear, and, I mean, you've been around hockey as long as I have. I can't recall any college team with that rack of talent, and really, you know, there hasn't been. We have 4 of the top 5 draft picks, and they're on their squad, and they're coming back. It's crazy. They had a couple more, of course, first-round picks, so that would have been a good minor league squad by itself. So they had their chance. They got to the Frozen Four, of course. They lost to Denver in overtime, 3-2 overtime. When I talked to Mel Pearson, the head coach, about that, he said, on my gravestone is going to say 3-2 OT. It's happened a lot for Michigan, of course. So, as you know, when you get down to one-game series, if you will, one-game contest, pucks bounce and anything can happen. I think, Keith, and I bet you'd agree, only in hockey could you get the miracle on ice. Only in hockey can a talent gap that extraordinary be covered because a hot goalie makes all
that's
the
right.
difference in the
sure.
world. And that's
right.
what they had.
No, that's right. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Hey, John, switching gears just real quick. The Michigan football team coming off its best season it's had in a long, long time. What can we realistically expect from this team coming up this fall?
That's cute. What can we realistically expect? What Canada do you want? Realistically is never part of this equation, ever. And Michigan fans, I love them. God bless them. They made not only the football books, but Halifax and Let Them Lead and others bestsellers. So I owe them a great deal. But my favorite line about Michigan fans is some Michigan fans are not happy unless they're not happy. So rational thinking will not play a part here. Of course, they won 12-0. They want to beat the Buckeyes again in Columbus. They've not done that in 20-some years. So that's going to be a tall order. But they've got a lot of guys coming back. This year, the strength is probably more on offense than defense. Last year was the defense. But the reason I love college sports is you get to see a team develop in front of your eyes. The team you see in November should be, if they're coached well, a whole lot better than the team you saw in September, which is why they play the Buckeye game, of course, in November, not September. So they got the pieces together. What they should be capable of, I bet they're going to be in the 10 or 11 win category this season. Michigan State, Mel Tucker has done one heck of a great job, to say the least, and he's beaten Michigan. He's 2-0. That certainly matters. So that's not a gimme by any means. Penn State won't be a gimme. Games in Michigan can certainly lose along the way.
Sure.
But if I had a bet right now, probably 10-2. And although McNamara did a great job last year, leading the team to its first Big Ten title in forever, you got to believe JJ is right there and may be the starting quarterback by the time it happens. And of course, there's your cheap segue to the promotion.
John, how much do you think the coaching staff changes are going to make? You know, pretty surprising. It wasn't that surprised that McDonald went back to the Ravens, but what's his name, bolting for Miami after Harbaugh decided to come back to the program. What do you think that'll do to the offense? Gattis, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Josh Gattis, whose kid I coached in Minimites. How about that for a full circle? But anyway, Minimites, by the way, it's beehive hockey. There's a puck and there's 10 guys around it. They just kind of vibrate.
Yeah.
Like the old electronic football we used to play. They kind of bug around. But I got to say, he was there most Saturdays and Sundays, even during the season, which is a tall order. But anyway, he won the, of course, Broyles Award as the best assistant coach in the country. And he leaves what appears to be a lateral move to Miami. So that obviously did not go as planned. But you hit the nail on the head. For hockey guy Keith, you do pretty doggone well with football. Last year they talked about the personnel, the quarterback, this, that, and the other thing. The story was on the sidelines when Harbaugh had replaced 6 of 10 assistant coaches. That is a big boy bet right there. It's all or nothing. And the way the contract was set up, it had to succeed last year or there would probably be changes at the very top, including Harbaugh. So that was a big bet on a bunch of younger coaches, pretty much, in their 30s oftentimes, and it worked spectacularly well. So that's an underrated move on Jim's part, in my view. That should be a settled situation for the most part this year. Yes, you got a couple new coaches, but I think that what they have is quite strong. I don't see coaching as a minus, but a plus. I think Josh Gattis is obviously, not a positive. You can't spin that for anybody. But Jim's got a way of replacing guys pretty quickly, and it's worked out pretty well.
John, do you have time to hang on with us for one more segment?
Why not, Keith?
All right.
Well, that's Keith that just talked. This is Jerry Coyne, but that's okay. I have struggled
sorry,
it's all right.
It's all right. My ego is big enough for the whole room anyway, so we'll be just fine. We will return after these words from our fine partners on a Friday Face-Off brought to us by FanDuel with the great John U. Bacon. Welcome back to Friday Face-Off here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by FanDuel. Jerry Coyne live in the studio with Keith Gabe and Rich Calkins and John U. Bacon on the phone. John, sorry about that. We had a little glitch. We should be back in. Are we back on now, Tanya? Okay, so anyways, John, we were talking about the coaching staff at the University of Michigan, and I said that, you know, Gabe is an avowed Spartan, so we had a lot of discussions last year about this. But I thought that what Jim Harbaugh did last year, bringing in these younger coaches, especially a lot of guys with Michigan connections, and Harbaugh kind of, I think a lot of his old Bo Schembechler, those who stay will be champions, that kind of stuff, fell on deaf ears with his players. So he ended up coaching his coaching staff and had the coaches staff coach the players. Would you call that an accurate assessment?
I think that's about 90% there. And by the way, Jerry, the good news or bad news is you sound a lot like Keith.
That is horrible news.
That is, Will.
Now I'm only on the air
anyway,
once a week.
He almost delegated in some ways, the connections with the players. And look, a 35-year-old guy like Ron Bellamy, who played at Michigan and loves it and won a state title in Bloomfield Hills. A guy like that is going to connect with the players. It worked, clearly. So I think your assessment is right. I'm not in the locker room. I can't, you know, speak to those direct connections. But, man, a football team is a big thing, unlike a hockey team. It's 120 players, and you can't know them all deeply personally. It's very hard to. So you really count on your position coaches to carry that load. And I think by going to a younger staff, that's exactly what happened. And, by the way, as far as the Spartans go, which you can't explain either, Antonio beat Michigan 8 out of 10 times, and I looked it up. And Duffy Doherty and Biggie Munn, who won national titles at Michigan State, those guys never beat Michigan 8 out of 10. So hats off there. Of course, Mel Tucker's already 2-0. How many times did Michigan State, on paper at least, have more talent? And I don't know if any of those games they had more talent. Maybe a couple in there somewhere with, you know, the end of the Hulk era or the Rich Rod era or whatever. But it wasn't talent that did it. It was coaching, and it was preparation, and it was game management. So hats off to Michigan State for all those.
Blind luck. Come on. Give me a break.
I just want to go on record as saying I'm a very, very proud little brother.
Mike.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike Hart.
Little brother and a whole lot of rings. But anyway, yeah.
You got to go ahead, Rich.
Yeah, John.
Okay, softball.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That was great. That was good radio right there. Anyway, so John, when you guys come up here, you know, you guys are doing a bunch of things that you have to do. What are some of the other things you like to do up here in Northern Michigan?
Oh, what's the whole point of Northern Michigan? You don't have to do anything. That's the beauty part. So, honestly, what I have done up here, my grandfather bought land here on Torch Lake in the 50s. And this will make you cry. You got 100 feet for $8,000.
Oh,
you don't have to bite your foot anymore. So that's pretty brutal. But family, friends, four docks down, gave us a deal we couldn't refuse. So now the bank owns our new cottage, but hey, we're allowed to stay here. So man, I come up here in the winter to write. Writer's Cave.
Sure.
Speaking of Stephen King, if you've seen what's that movie with Jack Nicholson?
Here's Johnny.
The Shining?
The Shining, yeah.
The Shining, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, I've lived that one, by the way. I start writing Red Rum around here, we're in trouble. But I like writing up here in the wintertime. Teddy, my six-year-old son, we go to Shannon Creek and elsewhere, of course, to do some tubing and sledding and whatnot. It's just a fun all year round. Golf, I am so close to mediocrity, I can almost taste it.
Well,
not bragging, just saying. So, and I've played all the courses at Grand Traverse many times, some more successfully than others. But, of course, we've got a whole rack there. Great area to boat, great area to golf. And also, I mean, I grew up coming up here. I spent my summers at the old Glacier Dome in Traverse City. How about that? Going to the Farrell's hockey camp. That is a lumber yard now, I believe. Puts me right where I belong chronologically. But I've, you know, just hanging out on Front Street. And it hasn't changed that much. For all the development around here, Front Street is still about what I remember.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You got another question, Keith? Because I do.
Go ahead.
John, a couple things about college football that I wanted to ask you about, especially given the end zone book that we talked about. And you said you're not in the locker room much, but, you know, your 2019 book about the team and Jim Harbaugh obviously lets you have a lot of access and obviously a completely different coaching staff and team outcome now that that they were able to get into the playoffs. Was that the moment last year that is going to put Harbaugh where most fans thought he would be when he first came into the program?
That is a great question, and, of course, we're only guessing here now. But the basic debate is that like Brady Hoke's one-off win over Ohio State, or is that Bo Schembechler in 1969 beating the Buckeyes, a great Buckeye team, with Woody Hayes, and setting off a 10-year war? We're about to find out, and it'll boil down to a few things. One, the coaching staff you mentioned, if they are for real, as they seemed to be last year. Two, the ever-changing personnel. And in the NIL and transfer era, Mel Tucker has proven your roster is going to change dramatically pretty much every year. So, of course, the NIL thing, we're talking about that with Grand Traverse Resort. Third thing, of course, is in some ways the biggest thing, the NIL. If they get that at the Ohio State level, they get that at the Alabama and A&M level, then you're competing with, you know, for recruiting nationwide. And you know the old joke, of course, that Jimmy's and Joe's beat X's and O's every time. Having just said that, we disproved that with the previous comment about D'Antonio and Mel Tucker, that they didn't always have the Jimmy's and Joe's, but man, they coached them up and X's and O's and won a bunch of games against Michigan, of course. So, I think right now, if I had a guess, I think it's what Jim has done is real and can be duplicated year in, year out. Can they win in Ohio State? They haven't done it in 2 decades. So if I had a bet right now, I'd bet no, this season, but they should be in the hunt at least. Honestly, I think a bigger game is the Michigan State game.
Right.
Because if you go down to Ohio State and lose by a touchdown, nobody's going to cluck their tongue at that nationwide or even amongst the Michigan fan base. But losing to Michigan State 3 years in a row, you're going to hear a whole lot
this year
from Michigan fan base about that one.
John, it's been my contention that you saw the transfer portal and what Mel Tucker did, getting so many transfers to turn the Michigan State or keep them relevant. Is it Michigan's academic standards that has really caused them not to bring in the same type of transfers that we're seeing all over the country? Like USC, my God. I mean, they got the Harlem Globetrotters of football over there. Is that the issue at U of M?
It's, of course, what's great about college football, unlike the NFL. The NFL, when the Lions suck, which, let's be honest, has been largely the case in my lifetime, you can't say, yeah, the Lions suck, but you know what? The Browns cheat. You can't say that. You can't say, yeah, the Lions are no good, but the Green Bay Packers, their academic standards aren't nearly as high. So the great thing about college football is if your team is losing, go right away to those two things, which are hard to prove, of course. It may be true, but hard to prove, about cheating, about academics, and so on. That's certainly the buzz out there. I can say, objectively, it's not the question of grades and whatnot, SAT scores and so on, so don't, you know, buy into that idea. But it is true that with admissions, it's very hard to get your credits approved from another school.
Right.
Michigan is pretty stodgy about that. And that's not, you know, a question of, okay, who's smart, who isn't, blah, blah, blah. Don't get into that one. That's just silly. It's a question of what transferred credits are allowed. If you're going to transfer from a school where you lose half your credits versus a school where you keep them all and you're therefore 1 year closer to graduating, boy, that's a hard spin if you care about graduating and you hope that people who transfer do. So that is an impediment. I know that Harbaugh and company have had this conversation with admissions. I know admissions tells them, yeah, you got 100 players and we have 40,000 students. We don't care that much. not a lot of progress there.
John, I got one quick question. You're as much of a hockey guy as I am, and I want to ask you a question that I get every other day that I can't answer. Who are the Red Wings going to hire as their coach?
You know what? I'm getting that question not as often as you do, but I'm getting it a lot.
And I bet you are.
I'm reassured that your answer is as lame as mine. I don't know. And I don't even know who they're looking at yet. I mean, Trotz is out there and so on. Some big names are out there. I would not be surprised to see Eisman go with a lesser-known name. I think, I mean, you know Eisman far better than I do. That guy is as piped into the hockey world as anybody can be. He's not some outsider on this.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been in the game nonstop since, from his playing days to leading the Olympic teams, of course, in Tampa Bay.
Yep.
That guy's Rolodex is really strong, really good. And I thought his reaction to letting Blashill go was savvy and sophisticated. He said it wasn't a blank show, which is true. It wasn't, you know, players were bolting or no one having any discipline and so on. He did a good job with what he had, but Steve also said, to his credit, I think, the elephant in the room, they don't play defense. And from a coaching point of view, defense is discipline. Offense is talent. And you can't get there. I mean, McDavid, Sidney Crosby, name me a great team that does not have two or three world-class forwards on it, you know, Ovechkin and so on.
Yep.
They don't have that right now. Larkin's good, but he's not in that category by any means.
No, he's not.
But defense is discipline. Defense is coaching. If you can skate reasonably well and you got a decent body, and all these guys do and can, that is for the asking. That is coaching. And, you know, 9-goal games, Keith. Did you ever see that? under Bowman? I mean,
No. If that reminded me of my first year, 85-86, when they had 40 points in an 82-game season. Some of these games this year were ridiculous. And you're right. It's all about defense. Barry Trotz is one of the best defensive coaches in the NHL. I think he's going to have his choice of jobs, and he's not going to choose Detroit even if it's offered to him.
That's interesting. Well, there you go. Now I got a better answer than I had before. No.
The one guy I like out there, John, that's still available and maybe needs a second chance is Joel Quenneville. Joel Quenneville.
That's interesting.
I like a lot. But I kind of agree with you that Yzerman's more likely to hire somebody that we haven't heard so much about.
Yeah, and Quenneville, of course, you know, in his 60s, and we know how old that is, Keith, don't we?
Yeah.
Quenneville, would he have the hunger in the, you know, the hunger in the belly for it? You know, he's won his 3 cups with Chicago, naturally. Don't know if, I would guess Steve would go with a 40-year-old up from the minors somewhere else.
Right.
But I would urge, now that he's asking me, of course, get a guy with head coaching experience, not just an assistant coach.
Agreed.
Where there are too many unknowns. And Bo Schembechler gave me a great line when I became the head coach of my little high school hockey team. He said, okay, Bacon, you're going from assistant coach to head coach. Guess what? You're going from making suggestions to making decisions, and those are not the same things. And he also told me at one point in the 70s, the only guy I could really understand what he's going through in the 70s was Woody Hayes, his arch nemesis. He said, because the head coach at Ohio State has more in common with the head coach at Michigan than the assistant coach at Michigan. Those are not the same jobs. Mel Tucker and Harbaugh have more in common than they do with their assistant coaches. So Yzerman knows all this. Look, you have to be impressed. How many guys who are Hall of Fame players have turned around to be Hall of Fame executives? Not many.
Nope.
He has made himself learned. He has been disciplined about it. And he's taken his time with this, and he should. But I would be very surprised, and I bet you would be too, if he did not get somebody very good. Somebody I might have to look up and figure out what the guy did.
Yep.
Somebody I might not know. But somebody he knows very well. And look, the guy's batting 1,000. You know, 2 Olympics, Tampa Bay, you name it. He's done a phenomenal job.
John, you mentioned Bo, and I wasn't going to ask this question, but now I am. The Anderson scandal and you know, I know Matt Schembechler. We talked about this when it all came out. I lived down the hall from him at Western Michigan, and he always had complaints about Bo from the very beginning. You wrote about Bo, you knew him pretty well. What do you think, if any, culpability Bo had involving the scandal in the medical department?
The short answer is we don't know. Up at this cottage last June, when that story broke, I took 2 weeks off writing a book for a non-paid 5,000-word essay on my website, johnubacon.com. Check it out. You can Google John U. Bacon and Dr. Anderson, it'll come right up.
Okay.
I hope you have a half an hour to read it. because, as I say in the thing, it's very hard to boil this down to a sound bite, but I have to do it here. But by all means, dive into that. And I made it a point to put it only on my website, not to sell it to a magazine, because then you're accused of cashing it in. And I also did not want to get edited. I wanted to run 5,000 words on this because I thought that's what it took. I think it's a complicated case, to say the least, but mainly it's a complicated case with a lot of unknown. Almost all the principals are gone. Dr. Anderson, Don Canham, Bo Schembechler. They're all gone, can't defend themselves,
right.
So it's hard to say there. Out of Bo's 660 players, 4 have come forward and said that they told Bo in some way or other, but that's one of the problems. They'd say, you know, what's up with the finger up the butt treatment was one of the quotes, and Bo said that's part of the exam. And I did break it down. The U.S. Marines, Johns Hopkins, University of Michigan itself, that was a routine part of the exam. Dr. Anderson was evil, and I knew him. I know his son. He's a good friend of mine, a former teammate. This is not fun for me to report. Michigan, as a university, blew it dramatically. And the worst mistake, I think, was Dr. Thomas Easthope in 79, who caught Anderson at Student Health Services doing all this, not in the football program, and had him dead to rights and told the law firm, WilmerHale, that I fired him on the spot. No, he gave him a raise and a promotion, and he parlayed that into a position at the athletic department 2 years later. So when he comes in, having worked at the hospital and student health without anything on his record, sadly, Canham is probably right to think he must be fined. And this was a standard part of the procedure. Now, what he was doing, of course, is not standard at all, and that's why there's a $500,000 settlement and should be. But he's a clever guy. He's a smart guy. These guys tend to be. And that's why also when Dr. Nasser broke at Michigan State and Ohio State and Penn State,
right,
you have to say, there but for the grace of God goes your program, because these guys are hard to monitor. They tend to be very charming. They tend to be socially adept. And they tend to know exactly how to hide what they're doing. Now, of course, it also came out and should have. The case, Bo's situation boils down to this. What did he know? When did he know it? How is it expressed? And what did he do? And in almost all four of those cases, we just don't know very much. And that's an unsatisfying answer. But I got to say, too, that when Bo heard that the caterers were serving leftovers and not giving his linemen all the steaks they wanted, they were fired by lunch. Bo would do that. So it is out of character for him not to take action in this case if he grasped the situation. But that is all I can say, that's speculation. We just don't know. So get on my site, take a look, and feel free to respond.
I'll leave with a lighter question, John. We were talking about this very briefly before you came on the air. Was that a goal last night in the Calgary-Edmonton game?
I got to tell you, the best spin on this on my Twitter feed, Brendan Morrison, Michigan's Hobey Baker winner, back in 97, of course, a longtime NHL player. He said he didn't, these guys, he's going too fast, isn't that? He didn't kick that in. Responded by Marty Turco, his goalie at Michigan, who ended up being also an NHL star, the Dallas Stars mainly, said, oh, he kicked it in. So, yeah.
But was it going? It was going in anyways, and it screwed my bet tremendously.
Yes, it did. The Oilers live on, of course, McDavid. But I guess it depends on your perspective, that's for sure. But I do think it was going in anyway. That's an aside point. Unfortunately, that does not matter in their ruling. Yeah, it's going in anyway. But on these things, of course, the world pivots. The Battle of Alberta, I get sent up for that one all day long, every year.
The best team won that series by far.
I tell you what, Bettman is happy, I guarantee you that, because he wants more Connor McDavid.
Sure.
So,
well, Calgary had more people in their square than Edmonton did. So that's neither here nor there. John, what is your website again where people can read that and all the other information that you have about all the sports that we just talked about?
Sure. It is johnubacon.com, and that's got the 5,000-word piece on the Anderson case, which involves a fair amount of original research, interviewing people, and looking at documents, what was protocol back then, and so on. It is not an apology, nor is it an attack. It's trying to sift through things as best I could. As I said early on in the piece, look, I was a friend of Bo's. I was co-authored his book. So on that basis alone, feel free to throw out my testimony, but when someone says, I could never believe that, this would happen, as a journalist, Keith, that's not an option for us.
That's right.
Show me the evidence and you got the receipts, then I have no choice. So I'm trying to find the receipts, trying to find the evidence, and that's my honest attempt to do so. There's also Let Them Lead by Bacon.com about the current book, which includes the Let Them Lead podcast, including some hockey guys on there. So that'll be fun. And the book, as you said, Greatest Comeback, comes out in September. That's about the Summit Series. I'm about to get a lot of those guys on my podcast. Pete Mihalovich and Brad Park and Serge Savard and others. So that'll be fun.
Great work, John.
And then, of course, John will be available to be seen in person at the Wolverine Weekend at the Grand Traverse Resort on June 18th. John, thanks so much for joining us, and let's do it again sometime.
We'll do it again, and this time, if my wife does not hit a deer in the Cherokee the night before, I will drive to Traverse City and join you. How's that?
Fantastic. It's a deal.
Thanks, John.
You got it.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Take care, man. We will be back after these words from our fine partners on Up North Sports Radio's Friday Faceoff, brought to us by FanDuel. Welcome back to Friday Faceoff on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by FanDuel. Jerry Coyne in studio with Keith Gave and Rich Calkins. Guys, that was a lot of fun, and hopefully we do get John on a regular basis. Maybe you could be replaced, Keith.
You know what? That's one of the first lessons my father taught me. You can be replaced in a New York minute. And he was right.
But we have a few minutes to talk about what's relevant in sports. We saw Edmonton eliminate Calgary last night in a really good hockey game.
Sure was.
I wasn't surprised at all to see Carolina beat the Rangers.
They're up 3-2 now, yeah.
Yeah, heading back to New York.
Yeah.
Neither team
series.
Has won on the road. Carolina's only won one game on the road in the entire playoffs so far, Keith. So that game is destined to go seven. That series?
Yeah, I think so. JC, talk about the differences between the West and the East in those two series that are still going. Edmonton, they average more than 8 goals a game. In the New York Carolina series, they're averaging less than 3.5 goals a game.
Yeah, that game last night. Seven goals scored in the second period between both.
Four goals were scored in a minute 10. It's a big time record.
Right.
Not the same in the NBA.
I wanted to ask you about that, JC. Why are we seeing so many blowouts in the playoffs?
Well, there's a ton of injuries. Okay, you know, the Miami is now decimated with injuries.
Yeah.
The Celtics keep coming back and forth. I was surprised the Celtics played that well without Marcus Smart in Miami. However, Kyle Lowry has come back. He played great in the one game. He's not ready to play.
No, he's not.
He can barely walk.
Yeah.
Miami's doomed.
Yeah.
The biggest surprise in Miami is Bam Adebayo has completely disappeared other than one game here. Now, I don't know if it's because the Celtics have just a lot of size.
Mm-hmm.
Adebayo is the only size that the Heat have. But with Miami's injuries, with Tyler Hero and everything else, it's just not a fair fight. Yeah. And Jimmy Butler, their superstar, he's not 100%.
Right, yeah.
I mean, nobody's 100% in the playoffs.
No, that's right.
But there's, you know...
There's degrees to this.
Yeah, and, you know... It's tough. And Dallas is really no match for the Warriors. The reason why Dallas flattened them in Game 4 is because the Warriors, like, you know, we don't need this.
Yeah.
You know, at halftime, they're like, okay, we'll just go back to San Francisco and win. I give Dallas credit for making a really nice comeback in the third period. Screwed me out of my bet. I thought for sure the under would hit there, and then, you know, they let Dallas score a whole bunch of points. They scored 16 or 18 points in a row to make it a little bit of a game. But, you know, it looks like it's going to be Boston. And Golden State should be a really good series.
Yeah, coast to coast. Man, Boston plays defense, eh?
Yeah.
Real team defense.
They got size. They got athleticism. They're going to be a tough match for the Warriors because the Warriors don't have size.
Right.
You know, Draymond Green is their big, and he's an inch taller than me.
Right.
So, the Warriors are going to have to shoot the lights out. They're the odds-on favorite. Right now, if you want to make some money on FanDuel, I would bet on the Celtics.
Yeah, they're experienced. They're a team that's well-seasoned, been in the finals many times.
The only thing that Boston really doesn't have, they don't shoot the ball nearly as well as the Warriors. And the Warriors have the best coach in the NBA.
Yeah.
Steve Kerr is a fantastic basketball coach. He was a great player, then sat on the bench with Greg Popovich, and played for Phil Jackson.
Right. Yeah.
So I think he's got the chops, Keith?
Right, he sure does.
Yeah. And he was one of those guys where his own ego doesn't get in the way. He wasn't such a superstar in basketball that it made him a great coach.
I don't want to get into it at all because we don't have the time, but the impassioned speech that he made about gun violence before the game was incredible.
Yeah.
I didn't know that his father was killed in Beirut by a terrorist. But, guys, as we talked about, the NBA playoffs are heating up, and you can make every game feel like Game 7 on FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA throughout the playoffs. All customers can place a no-sweat, same-game parlay each week, and you'll get up to $20 in free bets if you don't win. FanDuel has so many ways to play, and best of all, when you win, you get paid faster than a fast break.
New to FanDuel? Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code WGRY to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Once again, that's promo code WGRY, and if you already have an account, you're all set to bet. No sweat either way.
You'll get up to $20 in free bets if your same-game parlay during the playoffs doesn't win. FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. 21 and over and present in Michigan, refund based on non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max free bet, $20 per week. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problems? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
That's going to do it for Friday Faceoff. Please consider going to Fuel Fest at the Ellison Place on Sunday, fueling the recovery in Gaylord. We have comedians, we have music, we have food, and we got a ton of great auction items, including a lots of golf rounds. You got something real quick?
Just one quick. On our Up North Sports Radio stations tonight, Alex Fiedo, another young guy, is pitching pretty darn well.
Yeah.
1-1 with a 3.00 ERA against Shane Bieber down at Comerica Park.
Keith and I will have a brief chat this afternoon at 3:30 on Q100. Have a very safe and happy Memorial Day weekend.
All right.
Rocket Cam.
Very.
You know who's awesome? Curt Heelan's awesome. Basketball guru, basketball talk, NBC Sports, the mayor of Long Beach. Not actually elected mayor, just sort of culturally, right? Reputationally.